Welcome to Podcast Against Antisemitism, the show that takes a deep dive into the world's oldest hatred. I'm Ellie, your host, and you can join us for new episodes every Thursday. Subscribe now at antisemitism.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss a show. You can also watch the podcast on our YouTube channel. And please consider leaving us a nice review so we can grow our listenership. It makes a big difference. My guest today is Zoom Rockman, a 23-year-old award-winning political cartoonist, illustrator, and puppet animator. At the age of 12, Zoom became the youngest cartoonist in history to work for The Beano with his monthly comic strip Skanky Pigeon. This ran for 4 years until he left at age 16 to become a regular contributor at Private Eye magazine. However, on 1st of November, Zoom put out a tweet to say that he had quit Private Eye because of their incendiary cover and for failing to contact him after he had formally notified them that he had received a death threat. Zoom, thank you very much for being here. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thanks.
Good. Well, look, let's sort of dive right in. I mentioned that there was this incendiary Private Eye cover that came out a few weeks ago, and I think many of our listeners will know what I'm talking about. But for those who don't, would you mind please just describing that cover, what it looked like, and how you felt when you saw it?
Yeah, so normally where it would say Private Eye at the top, it said Eye for an Eye. And then there was a big, bold sign saying warning, and then a big block of text about the conflict. And it was quite weird when I saw it and other Jewish people I know saw it. Usually there's a joke or an image on the cover, but this was quite formally written. And it made the distinction between the Israeli government and Jewish people. But one of the points I made to them later was that ignorant people on the street don't really make that distinction. People I see every day. So whatever is said about the Israeli government usually partly comes back to me and affects me and other Jewish people. But the other thing that was done within that text is they framed Israel's policy as wanting to kill everyone in Gaza. And I just thought that was unnecessarily incendiary and was just going to cause harm to my community.
Yeah, you know, we actually sort of released our own parody of that cover ourselves, in which we referenced that it was somewhat drawing on the blood libel there. You talk about Israelis wanting to kill people in Gaza, and that's as you say, that has dire ramifications for Jews around the world. And as we're seeing in this country, anti-Semitism has risen. Now, going back to that day on when the cover was released, later on the same day, you released your own cartoon on X, formerly known as Twitter, that was printed within the same edition of Private Eye. Can you tell us more about what that cartoon looked like and then what happened next?
Sure thing. Well, the day that the magazine came out, around about lunchtime, I already have loads of messages saying, how can you work for these people? And so I wanted to put something out that basically said, I have a problem with the cover, but on page 26, there's a cartoon by me about anti-Semitism. And I think it's quite good that they published that. So I put that up. The cartoon was of a man throwing a brick through a synagogue window saying, you can't do anything nowadays without being accused of anti-Semitism. So I put that up as a kind of defense for Private Eye in a way. And in one of my replies, I had basically a death threat, which said, I hope you and your extended family get to meet Hamas in person very soon. And we all understand what that means. And that was quite horrific to receive after October 7th. Like, I don't want anything bad happening to my family, let alone myself, but like involving other people as well. Just not good.
Yeah. So obviously, that's extremely upsetting. I'm truly very sorry that you received that. When you spoke to Private Eye about it, what happened? Do you feel that they adequately addressed it?
Well, there were a few stages to this. So initially, I sent a email with a letter to the letters page, which is It's kind of the public forum in Private Eye where criticism goes. So I wrote a letter explaining my problems with the cover, which I've already set out, and then the fact that I had this death threat. So I was within the week before the next issue was coming out, I was kind of waiting for a response from them, which I didn't receive at any point. And then my last hope was really that they would publish something in the magazine itself, which they didn't. And so that was kind of like the moment where I realized I had to do something. That's when I chose to quit Private Eye. In the day after quitting, eventually I had a phone call with Private Eye. I won't go too much into like details of what was said because I don't think that's a very professional. But they were kind of playing down the death threat in a way, like suggesting it might be a bot or something, which I didn't think was that cool. But they were denying receiving the email, which is kind of weird for me from my side because I've had correspondence with that email before. I can see the sent receipts from my side and everything. I spoke with Ian, his lot, and I do want to say that we've met a few times in the past, and you know, I do respect his public reputation and everything. And when he gives me assurances that he didn't see it, I'm inclined to believe him, but I can't really extend that to thinking that no one in the office saw it. I wasn't really expecting a response from him when I sent that letter, just any kind of response would have been sufficient to me.
Yeah, and this is a place that you were working up until this point for 6 years, I believe.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's quite a long time. What did that feel like? I mean, was there a sense of hurt? Was there a sense of I've been here for so long and this is sort of what happens?
Yeah, definitely. I think I was really holding out not to do that, you know, especially even when I went to Twitter to kind of defend Private Eye in the first place. And I've had a lot of great moments with them. Like I did the Queen's Last Jubilee issue. I did a cartoon that was on the cover of the magazine. It's generally not something I really wanted to do, but I've kind of been pushed to this point. There's two main issues. There was the lack of response and the cover itself. Yeah. And now as a cartoonist submitting stuff, I know I'm associated with the magazine. I'm not going to know what the cover's going to be every time I submit stuff there. So I don't want to be a part of that messaging when it comes out. So it's a shame that it's come to this. I've really enjoyed working for them. But I don't think it's something that can really continue. I'm quite excited about the time I have to focus on other projects as well at the moment. Especially
what sort of stuff. What sort of other projects are you working on?
Well, I have a really big feature film length project that I'm working on at the moment. It's a film animated by me. I'll be directing it as well. And it's about a Holocaust survivor. And you know, there'll be hundreds of puppets in there that I'm performing with. And it's just something I find generally really exciting and fulfilling. And it already has funding. But I can't really talk too much about it just because it hasn't been officially announced yet.
Yeah.
But
that's a shame because I have 100 questions about this film already.
But one of the... I think one of the cool things about it is that I'm not making anything up. I'm not like adding things in for dramatic effect or anything. It's all based on the accounts of the survivor themselves. You know, even to the extent of me not making up dialogue of people, it's just all exactly what was said. And I think it's really important because there's a kind of decreasing attention span down the generations with social media and stuff. I don't think people are going to want to be reading books or stuff. So the way that I work is I can do a cartoon, but I can do a cartoon that's moving. Mm. It grabs people's attention, and I think it will have a really positive effect when it's out.
Yeah, I hope so. I know you can't say too much about the content of the film, but are you able to sort of say how you prepared for this? For example, did you sort of liaise with or speak with any survivors or attend any museums or anything?
I don't want to give too much evidence about who
okay.
the survivor is, but I have been working with quite a lot of survivors recently. I had an exhibition at JW3 in Finchley. It was called Zim Rockman's Jewish Hall of Fame, and it was it featured 10 famous British Jews, Jewish celebrities, and I've made automata of them. So what that means is I've drawn them and I've worked out the mechanics for when you turn a handle for them, their faces to move.
Wow.
Really cool exhibition. Even had a life-size Amy Winehouse. But JW3 connected with Jewish Care, and we got a big group of Holocaust survivors to come down. And it was really fun showing them around and really positive, because I don't think they get to do many events which aren't about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
So it was just really appreciating Jewish culture and stuff, and it was really fun. And we had a big lunch afterwards, and I basically said to them, anyone who wants a portrait done of them, I'm very happy to do it. And a lot of people said yes. And part of the reason I was motivated to do that is I realized these people have such great stories. They've been through so much. They kind of deserve a portrait more than some of the people in the Jewish Hall of Fame. So I did it. And then I went back to Jewish Care, showed them the portraits that I had done. And I kept going back because they're such interesting people with a lot to say. And especially at the moment, I'm wanting to get their perspective on things.
Hey, if you want to stay up to date with the fight against anti-Semitism, why not subscribe to Campaign Against Anti-Semitism? Visit antisemitism.org/act or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. How did you sort of get into making art about things as impactful and meaningful as the Holocaust or Jewish culture? Because, you know, when you started, you were working at the Beano, and then, you know, you became a sort of political cartoonist. So was there a sort of point when you were like, well, actually, I'm Jewish, this is a part of my identity, let's make art about this?
Well, I've felt Jewish for very long time. I mean, I guess, I don't know, it's an interesting question. My work has always been related to what I'm interested in at the time. And when I was a kid, I did my own comics, and they were about life at school and my local news agents and things and all the shops around me. And then I started working for Dino, doing kids comics. And then I became more interested in politics. It was just what my attention was moving to. And then I did this Jewish Hall of Fame thing, and that was very focused on the Jewish community. And I felt quite embraced by the Jewish community when I was doing that. And then, I'd had a few cartoons in Private Eye over the years about anti-Semitism when these problems were flaring up. But now it's kind of skyrocketing at the moment. I just feel like I've got to focus on it a bit more and sort of do my bit just to pull back the tide a little bit.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Britain has a long tradition of cartoons showing politicians or prominent figures in exaggerated or grotesque form. But I think a lot of people feel that when it comes to Jews, it seems that these features maybe go beyond mere caricature at times, perhaps drawing on tropes. What are your thoughts about these cartoons? I think recent examples were Martin Rowson's cartoon earlier this year about the resignation of the BBC chairman Richard Sharp, and Steve Bell has, you know, throughout his time put out various cartoons referencing anti-Semitism, Jews, and Labour. When you see these sorts of cartoons used in a way that perhaps doesn't serve the Jewish community. How do you feel? Because it's sort of taking an art form that you love, used in a way that you may not love.
Yeah, I think you have a very important duty as a cartoonist, the political cartoonist especially. You're basically taking reality and trying to distill it into an image. And you have to be very careful when you're doing that you're coming from a place of honesty and truth. And if you distort that in any way, it becomes propaganda and it can become quite dangerous. I actually collect hyperinflation banknotes from different areas in history. I have a few Weimar Republic ones, and the Nazis actually stamped caricatures of Jews onto the banknotes and basically put the blame of what was happening with the economy on the Jews. So it can be used for propaganda. In the case of Martin Rousen and Steve Bell, I actually know both of them professionally. I've met them at events over the years. Martin Rousen's known me since I was about that high. And he's known I was Jewish the whole time. And I've always, he's always been quite supportive of my work and stuff. So I was quite disappointed when I saw that cartoon of his. But my overall impression was that it was kind of like the unconscious bias that's there. I don't really think the man himself is anti-Semitic, and he's since apologized quite a lot for it, and he recognizes what was bad about it. Whereas at the same time that was happening, Steve Bell was basically saying, "You've done nothing wrong," all this stuff. And I think Steve Bell, I don't think he thinks of himself as an anti-Semite, he thinks of himself as an anti-Zionist. But the problem is very often he uses anti-Semitic tropes in his anti-Zionism, Jewish people puppeteering world leaders, stuff with fat Jewish people with all blood all over their hands and stuff is a bit blood libel-y. And he doesn't seem to care when he crosses that line. So Martin Rousen good, Steve Bell a little bit bad.
That's the too long do not read version of the answer. I mean, look, let me ask you, when we see cartoons like these featured in really prominent places like The Guardian, and also covers like the Incendiary Private Eye one that came out last month, do you think that this can actually have real life consequences for British Jews?
I think it all feeds into something. Like, it's quite hard to say, oh, the cover is going to lead to someone throwing a brick through a window or something like that. But it becomes part of the imagery that people share. And so it becomes it just becomes an extra thing that goes into this soup of anti-Semitism that is just getting bigger and bigger. I think I'm not sure how many Jewish people are at Private Eye. I don't think there's any really. So it's like they don't have that experience of living as a Jewish person and seeing the conflicts coming around every few years and then seeing the anti-Semitism on the street and things that happen to you. I think as Jewish people, we're always thinking about maybe 8 steps ahead about the anti-Semitism that might happen to us. Mm. And I don't think other people are thinking 1 step ahead usually. Mm. So I think it does have a negative effect.
Mm. Well, look, I think it's quite noteworthy and laudable that you felt strongly enough about your identity and sort of what was going on that you said, you know what, I really enjoy this job, but I can no longer be a part of it. And you're not alone in doing this. Noah Abrahams, a young Jewish sports journalist at the BBC, quit because of the BBC's coverage of Hamas and refusing to call Hamas terrorists. He has since appeared on our podcast. And Noah, if you're listening to this, I am enjoying working with you. I'm interested why you think, Zoom, that young people like yourselves and Noah, who arguably have much more to lose, are leaving what some might describe as dream jobs at highly regarded institutions because you think those institutions have crossed a line? Is it something to do with young Jews right now?
I think I've got two parts to this answer. One is the fact that you might say it's safe and just not do anything, but we're kind of seeing the rising tide of anti-Semitism in the future. We're kind of realizing we have to do something now, just so we have a place in the future.
Mm.
But the other thing is, I think it, with the young thing, I personally, it kind of relates to COVID in a way. We've already had a primed attitude towards this. So like the idea of staying in one place and staying safe and not doing anything, or do you go out and actually live and have a dangerous time? You know, what is living? Is it staying in your spot and doing nothing, or is it actually living? And I think young people, we've been cooped up for so long. We can deal with a lot, I think.
Mm.
I think we're not afraid to speak our mind and get out there, actually.
Yeah. Well, look, you're now in a position where you can pretty much, you know, make and publish whatever cartoons you want on your own platforms. And I saw that on Friday, the 10th of November, you posted a cartoon you made of all of the children aged 12 and under who have been taken hostage by Hamas terrorists. What inspired this cartoon?
Well, I've been doing some stuff about Rabbi Schoenfeld, who saved about 3,000 children during the Holocaust. And I kind of thought, like, what would he do in this situation right now? You know, there's these hostages in Gaza. And I kept seeing people ripping down these posters of children, child hostages, basically. And I wanted to do something that I could put up on my social media that couldn't get torn down at all, and it would just stay up there. So I did the drawings, and, you know, about 80 people unfollowed me in the day that I posted that up, which is a shame. But I think it just makes people uncomfortable to humanize the other side, I think. And I suppose it's a good thing. It was the last thing they saw when they unfollowed my account is the faces of these children.
Yeah.
So there's probably a bit of regret in them when they unfollowed.
Honestly, I think that's a very good barometer of who you want as your followers. If you're putting up a cartoon of hostages saying, just to let you know, these people are hostages, and that makes people unfollow you, maybe you didn't need them in the first place. Zoom, let me ask you a question that I ask all of our guests. If someone who is not Jewish comes to you and says that they want to help in the fight against anti-Semitism, where should they start?
I think the main thing is to reach out to your Jewish friends and just tell them you're there for them and that you support them. Because a lot of Jewish people at the moment are thinking about how safe they are in this country and whether they have a future here. And by reaching out to your Jewish friends, you kind of encourage them not to leave just yet. I mean, I'm thinking about whether I move to India or something, you know, but I don't want to do that yet. I want to make sure I'm safe here first. And part of that is knowing that I have friends here from other communities.
Can I ask you why India?
I went to Central St. Martin's University, and on foundation, I made really good friends with a guy called Siraj from India. And when COVID happened, he had to move back. He wasn't in the UK, so I didn't see him for about 4 years. But just a couple of months ago, I went over there, and we went on a bit of a tour around. He was showing me around, stayed with his family in different places.
Oh, nice.
And they just have a really positive attitude towards Jewish people and Israelis as well. And it's just somewhere that I think will be safe. But, you know, I want to make the UK work first.
Yeah. I think so. Well, shout out to Siraj and his family. Zoom, I know we touched on this throughout the interview, but as we leave, please just remind the listeners one more time, what have you got going on? What have you got coming up? And where can people find you?
So you can find me on if you just type in Zoom Rockman, you'll basically find all of the social media because no one
there are no
has
others.
My name. But the main thing I'm working on at the moment is this feature film project. It's going to be over about 6 months work and it's going to take up most of my time. But I don't want to stop as a political cartoonist, you know. I am looking for different avenues with that. I have got stuff on my sleeve with that. But that's all I'll say.
All right. Zoom Rockman, thank you very much for coming on Podcast Against Anti-Semitism.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Podcast Against Anti-Semitism. If you did, please subscribe and leave us a nice rating, or email any feedback to podcast@antisemitism.org. Until next Thursday, stay safe.